Well, good morning. Are you ready to start? All right, I invite you to turn your eyes to the screen.
Prepare to meet Mr. Angry Eyes.
Hey, hold it! Hey, I can't find my other eye.
It's mine. Give it back.
Okay.
How did those angry eyes work? Not so much. You know, we have angry eyes that work and other ones who don't, and we're going to look at that this morning. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts gathered here this morning be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we know that Jesus got angry. And there are a couple times in the Bible we find that out. When you think of Jesus getting angry, what is the first story that pops into your mind? Don't be shy. Temple. Cleaning out the temple, right? Jesus cleared out the money changers and all the stuff that was getting in people's way to get into worship. Well, that is the most popular time about being angry, but that's not what we're going to look at today. Today's reading comes from Mark chapter 3, and we actually read it this week. If you're doing the 40-day read-through Lenten challenge, it was our reading on Thursday. So turn with me to Mark chapter 3, 1 through 6. All right, you got it out? When we're reading this, it'll be helpful to know that in the sequence before chapter 3 and following, the Jewish leaders are trying to get Jesus. They're trying to trap him because they think he's going to heal on the Sabbath. And they hold the Sabbath so dearly that they are guarding it with a vengeance. So listen to these words. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And the people watched him to see whether Jesus would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And Jesus looked around at them with anger. And he was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out immediately and conspired with the Herodians against Jesus to have Jesus destroyed. Did you catch the emotional journey? We're talking about the emotions of Jesus this Lent. In these few verses, we see Jesus is angry with the Jewish leaders because their hearts were hard. Their hearts were hard, and they couldn't admit that helping somebody, even on the Sabbath, was acceptable. Then the Bible says immediately following that Jesus was angry, that he was grieved. And other versions will say he was sad. Or he was saddened by them. So he went from angry immediately to grief over the hardness of these people's heart. Jesus was not angry because he was right and they were wrong, even though that was the case. Jesus was not angry because he wanted their approval of him and he didn't get it. Jesus wasn't angry because he didn't get his own way, or that he missed all of the joy that could have happened around this healing. No, he was angry because of their hardness of heart. What does that mean, to have a hard heart? Well, I did some digging into that because I wasn't sure I totally knew what Jesus was thinking about there. Hardness of heart comes down to this. It is something that blocks fellowship with God. So Jesus saw that these leaders were putting something in between their hearts and building a relationship with God. And he knew that this blockage would cause them misery in the long run. These leaders' devotion to this ideal about the Sabbath blocked them from seeing and focusing on God. Even God, who was right there in front of them, Jesus, performing a miracle. Things and ideas that stand in the way of a relationship with God makes Jesus angry. So, to unpack this a little bit more, I thought we could do an experiment up here. So I'm going to need some helpers. Who would like to come help me? I'm going to need a few. Okay, Eli, come on up here. Azariah, you want to help me? You want to help me, Lakin? Okay, I need a few people who are a little bit bigger to come help me, too. Okay, bigger. Okay? All right, way in the back. Pastor, I need your help. Okay, I need a couple more. I need a few more helpers. Okay, a few more helpers who... Yeah, back there. Come on up. All right, I need at least one more. Anybody who wants to see better can just sit right here on the floor, okay? All right? All right, my friends. So, who is going to be my stirrer helper? Who's going to be my stirrer helper? Lakin, you're going to be brave. You're going to wear the apron. I got a green one just in case. We didn't want anybody to pinch you while we were up here, right? Okay, turn around. Turn and face the congregation. Anybody else who wants to see better? Yep, you can sit on the floor. Okay, Azariah, I need you right over here. Eli, I want you over here. My taller helpers, will you stand behind each of these? Okay? And Lincoln, you can stand right next to Lincoln. Okay, my friends, listen up. We are going to need one cup of warm milk. This is warm milk. Eli, you need to pour it in here. Lakin, you have to tell him when to stop when it gets to that line. Will you make sure he's got one cup going on right here? So this cup of warm milk is to remind us of our warm hearts, right? Okay, you're pouring? Don't be afraid or we're going to be here all day. Hold on. Let's take the lid off. Okay, go ahead and pour. Watch it. Tell him when to stop as it come up to the one cup line. How's he doing? Are we there? Okay, stop. Very good. All right, everybody out here, sit down. So, grab a spoon. Azariah, hold this. Okay, I need a little bit of help. What are some things that make us sour? All the way from out here and here. What things make us sour? Okay, if you think of it, shout it out. What makes us sour? Oh, sour gummy worms. I'm thinking about sour hearts. So that might make our stomach sour, but what makes our hearts sour? Out here, help me out. Okay, not our stomachs, our hearts. Okay, this is a really hard question. Let's let somebody in the congregation out here help us. Ms. Aaron. Resentment. That means when I don't really like what you did to me and that makes me feel really bad. Resentment. So we need one teaspoonful of resentment. We want to put some resentment in there. What else? What else can hurt our hearts? Jealousy. Oh, we need another teaspoon in there of jealousy. We're going to do at least four. Pain. What kinds of things cause our heart pain? Physical pain, but what else? What else? What help? I hear a little anger. What's disappointment? Okay, let's put that in there. How much do we have? How many we put in?
Three.
We have three. We need one more. We have a little anger and disappointment that just gone in there. Mistrust. Okay, we got some mistrust coming in here. Okay, Lakin, give it a stir. What's going on here, friends? What's happening? Is it turning into sour milk?
Yeah.
Can you smell it?
No.
No? You can't smell it? Okay, I'm going to lift it up high real quick. Leave the spoon in it. Can you see what's going on? What? It's chunky milk. Anybody want to taste it? Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. In a minute, okay. Okay, Lincoln, with help of glory, right here. Pour this into there. And now let's see what happens. Can you see? Don't be shy, just pour it all in there. Okay, now we're gonna need those paper towels, get a whole big bunch of them. Lincoln, are you okay to get your hands a little squishy? Yeah, okay, Lincoln's not afraid. Okay, right here. Okay, Lincoln, are you ready? Okay, squeeze all the liquid out of that, like that. Give it a good hard pat. Give it a really hard pat. Get all of that liquid out of there. Okay, let's see what we got. Oh, are you brave to hold it up? No, touch this. Are you brave to touch that? Okay, that's fine. Hold it up for everyone to see. Do you see that? Okay, so you see it's separated. The warm milk is now getting clumpy. If we were to let everybody on stage, you need to be sitting on the floor. If you were to let that sit for a couple days, look what happens. It turns into plastic. It gets all hard. It's no longer soft, it's hard. What kind of heart do you like to cuddle up next to? This hard one?
No.
Or this soft one? Yeah. So, friends, when sour things stick with us too long, our hearts get hard. You may go back to your seats. Thank you to our helpers. Just leave it. Just leave it all here. So when we talk about things that sour us, if we were to start making a list, a lot of those things come back to things that make us angry, things that make us mad, like in our children's story and in our drama. Now, how many of you have a box of these at your house, or a huge one like I do? Do you know what it is? Band-Aids. Do you have these? Do you have them in your purse and in your wallet and in your car? Yeah? Yeah? Everywhere. Why? Why do we have these everywhere? Why? Just say it out. Because we get cut and hurt a lot, right? Yeah? Yeah. I even got a call last night. I'm at the church. Where are the Band-Aids? Yeah, it happens. We have them here everywhere too. We just, not everyone knows yet. Okay. So we have them because hurts happen, right? We get scratches, we get cut. We don't need a prescription. We don't have to go to the doctor's office to get a Band-Aid, right? We have something that we can use. Now, what is the first thing that our parents taught us to do once we get a cut or a hurt? What's the very first thing we have to do? That's right, we're gonna wash it. We're gonna clean it out, right? And then we can put that Band-Aid on, and in short time, it'll be healed and we don't need it. Now here's a tough one. What about the hurts of the heart? What do we do with those? Can we just get a Band-Aid and put it on our heart when it's been soured? Mm-mm. It doesn't work like that, does it? But there is one thing that's important to both the cuts that need Band-Aids on our fingers and hurts of the heart. The most important thing for both of them is to treat them immediately, because we can't always prevent a hurt or a pain, but we can prevent infection. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4, or on your Bible app, Ephesians 4. 31, Ephesians chapter 4, and here Paul has some words for us, beginning in verse 31. Listen to how we can treat infection and keep it at bay. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. How do we stop infection of the heart? What did he say? What did Paul say? I heard rumblings. I think I heard the word. He says to put away bitterness, wrath, you put it away, anger, and you what? Forgive. Forgive. That's how you keep infection of the heart from growing. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul also writes about love. It's called the love chapter. And a way for us to understand this as a Christian is that Christian love does not store up the memory of all the wrong things that have happened to us. But what happens if we do store up the memory of all those wrongs and don't forgive? Well, Max Lucado in a devotion says it is like a cellar. How many of you have a cellar at your house? Yeah. Well, first service had a couple more, just saying. How many of you had a grandparent who had a cellar at their house? All right. How many of you have no clue what a cellar is? All right, so a cellar is an earthen basement. It's not concrete, and usually it's on the outside of the house. Maybe you've seen them, they're a little slanted. You open them up and you go down into the earth. And they're used for storing food, primarily over the winter, because it's cool. And things don't get rotten down there. That's before we had great freezers and refrigerators. So you could put things in the cellar. Well, when I was a child, I would go to my grandparents' house from Kansas. I would go to Pennsylvania, and we'd go there for the holidays. And one of my most vivid memories is their cellar, because their cellar was unique. You could get to it from inside. And so the stairs that went to the second floor went like this, but the stairs to the cellar went right under it like that. And as soon as that door would open up, you could smell the earth. And you would go down some steep steps. And there on the walls, there was so much food stored up, just like this. Put your eyes to the screen for a second. Except on four walls, right? Now that is some stored up food. My grandmother probably spent a month of days canning in preparing for the winter. Well, some of us store up hurts, and they start collecting in the cellar of our heart, and we push them down underground, those things that hurt us. And what happens is, the longer we keep them and the fuller it gets, what happens to our heart? It gets hard. And when our heart is hard, we're blocked from having a relationship with God. And that's what Jesus said made him angry. So what do we do if we find ourselves with a cellar full of anger and hurt and a hard heart? Well, Jesus has a story for that too, you know. We're going to read it this week in our 40 days. And it's found in John, the book of John, chapter 5. And this is about healing on the Sabbath too. And it goes like this. Jesus was in Jerusalem and he went to this pool, and there were all these porches and there were just people everywhere. There were people who couldn't see, who were lame, who were paralyzed, and they were all waiting for the water to stir, because they believed whoever was first would be healed. And there Jesus saw a man, and he knew he had been there a long time. In fact, he had been there 38 years. And Jesus walked up to the man and said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man said, "Well, I've been here for 38 years, but nobody can put me in, and so everybody beats me to the water." And Jesus says, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." You know what? Jesus stands before us today, and he says, do you want to be made well? If your heart is a cellar full of hurt and pain, do you want to be made well? You see, he was in front of the Pharisees, those Jewish leaders in Mark chapter 3, and he healed a man, and he had his arm restored, his hand. And Jesus was saying to them, I have the power to heal this man's hand. I can heal your heart. But they walked away. Max Lucado also writes, this is not a trick question for us. Jesus asks us the same question as he asked the man by the pool, do you want to be well? Not everyone does. You may be addicted to anger. You may be a bitterness junkie. Your anger may be part of your identity. But if you want him to, he can change your identity. He wants to clean out that old cellar of preserved anger and replace it with the fruits of his love. Do you want him to do so? Jesus also knows that a hard heart doesn't draw people to him. People like soft, cuddly hearts to cuddle up to. They're more interested in touchingness. If you release your anger, he will then soften your heart so that you can put in the right angry eyes and serve those who have a hardened heart. So you could be a St. Patrick. Some of you may have already let that go. You've already told Jesus, I want to be healed. You stop the infection, it's gone, and you've got a soft heart. But some of us here today, our hearts might be in between stage, a little gooey on its way to hard, or just hard. And Jesus says, do you want to be well? Underneath the chairs on the aisles, there are sticky, heart sticky notes, and if there isn't one close, just schlep one from the person beside or behind or around. Just wander through and make sure you find one. Will you please write on that heart sticky note what you want Jesus to do for your heart? Whether it's to be a servant like Patrick or to heal you, whatever. Write on the sticky note what you want Jesus to do for your heart. Make sure to ask around. There are plenty. I counted them. Don't be shy. Make sure you get one. And then when you are ready, we'll have some music playing here. You are invited to bring your heart to the altar. You can stick it on the purple. You can stick it on the wood. You can stick it on the top. You can stick it on the sides, wherever you want. Bring your heart up and leave it with Jesus this morning. And this is part of our prayer time. Come as you will, and in the end, I'll have a closing prayer for us all.